Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. Ecclesiastes 11:2. I am Rob West. God's Word makes it clear that we should diversify our investments. Often that means dividing them, stocks, mutual funds, and bonds, and maybe precious metals. But are we missing a completely different class of investments? Tim McCready fills us in on private market investing today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is Tim McCready, head of global multi-asset investing with Brightlight, an Eversource Wealth Advisors team. And Tim, great to have you on the program.
Rob, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
Tim, as you know, we'll be talking about private market investing that honors God. But first, I'd love to hear a little bit of your story and how you became interested in and really a key leader in the faith-based investing movement.
So, Rob, I grew up on the mission field and returned to Australia to study, and then spent my early career consulting with pension plans in Australia. But I wanted to do something more meaningful. And I had the opportunity to work with a faith-based pension fund in Sydney around this question of faith and investing. And I spent 15 years trying to answer that question. What does it mean to be a faithful steward of what God has entrusted to us? And today I get to work with pension funds, but also investment advisors and families on this intersection of faith and investing.
Oh, it's exciting, and I know you're delighted to see how this space is growing and maturing. Seems almost every day there's a new product out there, but perhaps this area of private markets they're less familiar with. So explain the difference between the public markets and the private markets.
So in the private markets, you have different investment structures. Instead of mutual funds, stocks, and ETFs, you have private market funds, real estate investment trusts, and notes. And vehicles called limited partnerships. And they're typically targeted at more experienced or sophisticated investors, usually, but not always, larger investment sizes. And what these vehicles do is they often hold different assets within the fund. They still own stocks and bonds, but often different types, maybe venture capital or private equity or private credit, instead of the traditional public stocks and bonds that most listeners are probably familiar with.
Yeah, that's helpful. And how are private market investments another way to diversify?
Well, we've seen large investors using private markets to get exposure to different types of assets or different specific themes that they want to invest in. And what we're starting to see is these kinds of investments now starting to become more available at smaller investment sizes, not just the multi-billions that that it used to be.
Yeah, and that's really helpful for the average investor. Now, how do faith-based investments intersect with the private markets?
So, Rob, 15 years ago, there was almost nothing in this space. But just as we're seeing growth in the options available to faith-based investors in public markets, we're seeing more options in the private markets. Mm. Today, there's probably 50 to 100 faith-based private market funds and opportunities, plus hundreds of opportunities in a broader impact investing space. Most of these are still only available to qualified purchasers or accredited investors. But Rob, I'm excited about where we're headed. If trends from what we've seen elsewhere continue, we should start to see some of these private market investments with specific faith integration available to mum and dad investors in the next few years.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Now, talk for just a moment about the potential for risk and performance with the private markets.
So investors need to understand risks, particularly around liquidity. You can sell a publicly traded stock or bond pretty fast, not a private market fund, and that amplifies a range of risks. And with more concentrated portfolios, like you see in private markets, performance can be more volatile. But we have seen performance that diversifies away from the public markets, and that delivers the kind of investment outcomes that investors need.
That's really exciting. Tim, how can folks get more information about private market investing that aligns with their Christian values?
So have a look at our website, brightlightimpact.us, and have a look online at the different faith-driven private market investment opportunities that are available today.
Well, this is an exciting development in the faith-based investing space, Tim. We appreciate you stopping by. I know we're going to talk much more about this in the future.
Great to be with you, Rob.
That's Tim McCready with BrightLight. Again, if you'd like to learn more, just go to brightlightimpact.us. brightlightimpact.us. Back with your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Chaos. More and more, that is the word used to describe what's happening in the news, on social media. Conflicts between nations, violence against the vulnerable, and those are only the things the news reports. There's more going on in the world than just that. Brothers and sisters in Christ suffering for their faith. And what Jesus said would happen, it's coming true. Those who follow him are suffering for his sake. Where does a Christian find hope? At the end of 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." There is peace, and it's found in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get started with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. And we started today by talking about investing, but we could talk about your debt repayment. Maybe it's your budget that's keeping you up at night, how you communicate with your spouse around money, or maybe your wealth transfer plan. Whatever it is, we'd love to tackle it today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In the news today, the national debt of the United States, I know, not a very fun topic to start with, but that, of course, measures what we owe our creditors, reached an amount that has 14 digits before the decimal point. Get this, as of last Friday, that's January 26th, according to the Treasury Department, $34,135,457,061,639, and don't forget the 36 cents. It, of course, increases every second. It is no laughing matter, though. By comparison, four decades ago, the national debt was only, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, only $907 billion. So in four decades, we've gone from $907 billion to over $34
trillion with a T. Obviously, something that should be concerning to lawmakers and those that control our fiscal policies in this country. Good news is the economy is still growing, but we've got to get on top of this one. That will come to roost at some point. We can handle that debt, by the way. It's the question of, you know, a couple of more decades down the road. If we continue on this trend, we're going to have some real challenges. So something, of course, to keep an eye on. And, you know, what's most important is how we manage our own economies. Apart from showing up at the ballot box and voting for those who understand a biblical worldview of economics and wealth creation, we need to handle what passes through our hands according to biblical wisdom, holding it loosely, giving it generously, living within our means, making God our ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish his purposes. And when we do these five things, live within our means, avoid the use of debt, set long-term goals, have some liquidity or some margin, meaning you're living on less so you have that cushion, and then giving generously, well, you've put yourself in a position to experience God's best. It doesn't mean you'll be free from trouble by any means, but we can trust that Jesus has overcome the world. We can put our faith and trust in him alone as our provider. And then our job is faithfulness to opportunity. What have you done with what you've been given? And each according to his or her ability is really what the Lord is asking of us. So on this program each day, we want to help you manage God's money, do it in light of Scripture, and do it in a way that can allow you to use it as a tool as God intended. So what are you thinking about today in your financial life? Give us a call. Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Hey, when you're thinking about retirement, a lot of the questions we get here on this program are related to withdrawing money in retirement. Now, the first question is, can I pay my bills? And I realize that's a challenge. And, you know, it can be difficult, especially if you still have debt or if you started saving later than you wanted to. But if you've built up some retirement assets, when it's time to retire, you probably need to start withdrawing money for living expenses. Now, you might think it's as simple as cashing out an IRA or pulling money from your savings account, but that's not necessarily true. You see, setting up retirement withdrawals can be tricky, especially if you have several different kinds of accounts. If you don't withdraw your money in the right order, you could end up with a bigger tax bill than necessary. Remember, traditional IRA withdrawals are taxed as regular income, while Roth IRAs don't trigger a tax bill normally. And when you cash in non-retirement investments, you may pay capital gains. That's the tax on the gain of the asset. Investing experts tell us that retirees need to liquidate non-retirement investments first, then use the traditional IRA money, and finally, the Roth IRA accounts. This gives the retirement accounts maximum time to accumulate compound interest. Another suggestion, before you retire, set up in a money market fund with your broker, bank, or investment company. And then in retirement, you can withdraw a year's worth or less of expenses into the money market fund rather than trying to transfer money from your investments directly to your bank account each time you need it. This is kind of like dollar cost averaging in reverse, and it helps you smooth out the effects of the market changes. Any other income streams like Social Security can be directed to that money market fund as well, and then you can move money easily from the money market fund to your bank account to pay your monthly expenses in retirement. Now, one other thought, if you can, delay withdrawing from your taxable IRA accounts until the required minimum distribution or RMD kicks in. Interestingly, a new law just passed raises this from 72 all the way up to 75 for people born after 1960. So this allows your accounts to continue earning interest as long as possible. Now, once you do start taking the RMD, you can use it to pay expenses or invest in a taxable account. If you don't need your RMD for expenses, consider rolling some of your traditional IRA money into a Roth, which isn't subject to RMD, or you could use it to pay or give charitably. So you could replace the giving that you were doing out of, let's say, savings or out of your spending account that's after-tax money, and you could do it with the pre-tax money. You could, in fact, give the same amount if you wanted to. But that way, it's going directly from the IRA to the charity through a qualified charitable distribution. That allows you not to recognize it as income, which you would in every other case if you're taking money out of an IRA. But in this case, you don't recognize it as income, and you get the benefit of giving that money away, which is a great blessing. All right, more on this in a moment. Let's take a couple of phone calls. We've got lines open. We're ready for you today. Questions on any financial topic, 800-525-7000. Call right now. Let's begin in Arkansas today. Hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Good. Hi. Well, my question is, I'm 63. I am totally debt-free. As of December, paid off a student loan that was $55,000. That's all gone.
Great. And good work.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. And my dilemma now, I'm also mortgage-free,
nice.
Is I have a special needs adult child.
All right.
And I'm thinking of moving closer to my other adult son. My issue is that I found out yesterday my current home, it would be maybe worth the realtor between a 150 and 160. But new home up there would be 335, 350,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's a bigger population. And it's just really with everything that's going on, a lot of the anxiety related to it, to
yeah.
go from no debt to, oh my goodness, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm still working as well. I'm in healthcare.
Okay. All right.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So that's the challenge, right? Is that we just have, obviously, housing prices are high. Now, you're moving from a place with obviously, you know, a lower cost of living to somewhere, it sounds like a little bit more densely populated, that housing prices are a bit more elevated. So the question is, let's say you were to get 160 after realtor fees and so forth, you end up with $150,000. If you put that down on a $350,000 home, question is, can you, you know, swing a $200,000 mortgage? We probably want to try to delay this until interest rates come down, because that'll help. But let's do this. I need to take a break, but I want to unpack this a bit more with you. So stay right there, and we'll finish up on the other side. We've got lines open, folks, here on Faith and Finance. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, here at AFR, it's all about applying a biblical worldview to your life as you change the culture, as you lead your family, as you are a married couple, as you just, as an individual, lean into your relationship with Jesus, and yes, as you manage God's money. And that's what we want to do during this hour of the programming day. Each day is help you look at your role as a steward of God's money in light of biblical wisdom. We've got two lines open for your questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before the break, we were talking to Lisa in Arkansas. She's 63. She's still working. She's debt-free currently. She has an emergency fund. She's paid off her student loans and her mortgage, but has a special needs son and thinking of moving to where he is. It's in a more densely populated area. So the home that she would sell for, let's say, $160,000, she believes she might need to spend as much as $350,000 when she gets to this new city. And she's just wondering, man, it feels really good to be debt free. Can I do that? Lisa, let's talk about that. I mean, do you, first of all, have the ability to add a mortgage payment? What does your income and expenses look like currently? And, you know, how would that translate? And would you have the ability to, let's say, add a $1,500 a month principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment?
Yes.
You would? Okay.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
And also, my son lives with me. Yeah. Yeah. He's my special needs son lives with me. And so I have to, my current employment, I have to be flexible because I'm his only primary caregiver.
Yes.
So that's the biggest issue. It's like, oh boy, what do you do with this now? And
yeah.
Everyone, you know, anyway.
Would you be able to work for the same company when you move? Do you work remotely or would you have to find a new job?
Yes, I can actually work. And there's actually more opportunities up there.
Ah, yeah, good. Okay. Well, just running some quick numbers for you. I mean, if we waited, I mean, we think that rates will probably dip into the fives by the end of this year. And so right now, let's say, you know, whereas you might be paying 6.75, let's say you were paying 5.75 on a 30-year mortgage. I'd love for you to get a 15 if you could, but let's just start with 30. If you spent $350,000 purchase price and you put $150 down, I'm saying you get $160, and then after realtor fees, you know, your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment, you're looking at right at around $1,500 a month. And that includes taxes and insurance. Now, if you down at $325,000 purchase price, that drops to $1,300 a month. And then, you know, if you bought something for just $300,000, you know, you're a little over $1,100 a month. So, you know, I think the key is start to work on that budget and that spending plan. I know it feels good to be debt free and you don't like the idea of, you know, adding more debt. The nice thing is, I mean, we're talking about putting between 40 and 50% down. So you got plenty of equity going in, and it's really going to come down to, number one, praying through it. Is this where the Lord's leading? What would that do to your quality of life in terms of you being, you know, closer to family? And then third, you know, can we make the budget work? And let's really know what that budget looks like going in so that you can buy the house that you can afford, not stretch and buy something you really can't, and then it's going to put you in a difficult spot down the road.
Yes. Okay, I appreciate it. I've been, of course, praying and praying and praying about it.
Yeah.
Saying, Lord Jesus, please lead, because it's such a big decision.
Yes, it is. But it sounds like you're thinking through it in the right way, and we certainly appreciate you being on the program. Thanks for calling. All the lines are full. If you get a busy signal, just keep calling, 800-525-7000. To Ohio we go. Hi, Sharon, go ahead.
Good morning. I have a clarification that I need on RMDs. I'm 65. I'm a widow. I would like to start taking charitable donations out of my 401k and have them, you know, and of course them not come in as income. I've been bit by selling a stock once, and the next thing you know, my Part B Social Security cost was up $65 a month. So y'all be careful what you do out there.
Right.
So for a year, I got to pay the stupid penalty. I don't want to do that again.
Yes, ma'am.
But what I would like to know is, at what age can I start taking my tithe out of my 401k and just directly give it to my church? And that way, it's not income to me. I would love to know that.
It's a great question, Sharon. Unfortunately, you can't do it directly from a 401k. However, you could roll this to an IRA. Now, are you still working?
No. Okay. I currently have. I guess I've called it the wrong thing. I have it at TD Ameritrade.
Okay, so it's an IRA. You rolled it out of your 401k when you retired, I guess?
Yes, sir. I guess I used the wrong word.
Yeah, no problem whatsoever. And what is your age, Sharon, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 65.
Okay. Yeah, so you do have to be 70 and a half in order to do the qualified charitable distribution. So you're not quite there yet, but when that time comes, it is a great tool, because even before you have to start making required minimums, which based on your age isn't going to be until age 75, for the reason you mentioned, just the idea that you can get it out without incurring any taxes, you know, it's a great benefit, but it does require that you be 70 and a half.
Well, I will be required to take them at, I think, 73, because I was born in 58. I have one other question.
Sure.
It's really hard navigating how when my sweetheart died, you know, we went from two people's deductions to one person. The income did go down, but, oh, man, did the taxes go up. And people think that won't happen, but ladies y'all, and gentlemen, too, y'all need to be careful when you go to – when you lose that person, that precious person, you also get slunked with higher taxes in a way, you know?
Yes, I totally understand.
And I would love to see maybe – In the future, y'all talk a little bit about how to best deal with that, because I would talk to my financial advisor, and he's a fiduciary, but he would not give me any tax advice.
Yes. Well, it's a great question. I'll add it to the list here, and we'll get the team to work on that. We'll do that as an opening topic sometime soon. But you're right. When that standard deduction drops to $14,600, it does change things a bit. So that's a great point. Hey, stay on the line. I want to send you a book called Wise Women Managing Money that I think will be an encouragement to you. A quick break and back with more.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope. And now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon. Or call 888-201-5577.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head back to the phones, are you trying to budget on a variable income? I know this can be really challenging, but here's some thoughts on how you might want to think about doing that. First of all, we want to try to get to a consistent amount that you are spending each month. And the best way to do that is look back over the last 6 months and get an average monthly income for the last 6 months. Then draw up your estimated budget on that number. Then as your income varies, it's critical that you save the excess in the months where you have more so that you build up enough surplus to meet your needs in the lean months when you earn less. With any kind of budget, the key is always spending less than you earn, but hopefully that will help to smooth out those ebbs and flows and get you on some consistent budgeting despite that variable income. Hope that helps you. All right, back to the phones. Looks like all the lines are full. We're going to dive in again. Alabama. Hi, Larry. How can I help you, sir?
Good morning, Rob. I have a 401, and it's up around 320.
All right.
And I'm 55 right now, and it's my understanding I can withdraw from that at 59 and a half without penalties.
Another rule that may affect you, Larry. Did you lose your job or retire early or leave your employer?
I left the employer, went to another one. And so the one that I'm currently employed by, I have to wait 6 months before I can transfer my 401 to their 401 plan. So my question would be, would it be wise at this point to take out enough to pay off my house or wait until I'm 59 and a half?
Yeah. So tell me what you're thinking there. I mean, how much do you owe on the home?
Well, I owe $40,000 on the house.
Okay. And are you currently on a track to have it paid off by the time you retire?
The year before I retire.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So, as much as I love for you to be debt free, unless you just have a real conviction from the Lord to be out of debt, I think letting that money stay right where it is inside that 401k is your best option, because it just allows it to continue to grow and compound on a tax deferred basis. You're already on track to pay off the house by the time you retire, which is going to take that major expense out of the equation in retirement, which is going to help to make, take the pressure off a bit, because it'll bring your total expenses down. But, touching that 401k money, I think, is going to ensure that you have as much as possible socked away so that in retirement you can convert that into an income stream that can supplement Social Security. So, again, unless you just really are convicted to be debt-free, I'd like for you probably to hang on to that. What is the interest rate on that mortgage?
5 3/4.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it's not two or three, which that would be a no-brainer. I mean, it's up over five. So, but I still think, with you taking a long-term perspective on this 401k and the fact that you'd have to add, you know, all that to your tax bill this year, I'd probably just ride it out, try to accelerate that mortgage payoff out of current cash flow and not pull that out of the 401k if it were me.
All right.
Now,
well, great. Thanks for
let me
advice.
Mention something just so you know this. There is something called the Rule of 55. And basically what the Rule of 55 says is that if you leave your job after the age of 55, even if you go back to work, so you quit, you're fired, you retire, even if you go back to work, that allows you to get money out of that 401k without the penalty. So it allows you to take it prior to 59 and a half, no penalty. It's still taxable. It's always taxable. It just allows you to avoid that penalty. So you actually, even though I'm encouraging you not to pay off the house right away, you actually, with this rule of 55, and given the fact that you just left your previous employer, you would be able to get that money without the penalty now and without waiting.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, alrighty.
All right.
I think I'll just let it sit. My wife is the one that's encouraging me to pay it off. She said that would give us $720 a month that we could be putting up somewhere, which, you know, it's a good bit of money we could be putting up, but is it worth paying it off early?
See, the difference is,
I was under the impression there was a penalty there.
Yeah, no penalty, but it is taxable, so you'd have a big tax bill. But the difference is, yes, you're going to have more money to put away, but you're going to be putting it away after tax, whereas this money in the 401k is pre-tax, which means as it's growing in the stock market, there's no drag on the returns from the taxes because there's no capital gains. So I'd rather you keep that money in that tax-deferred environment as opposed to taking it out, paying the tax on it, paying off the mortgage, and then putting taxable money away for the future, if that makes sense. Let's keep it in that tax-deferred environment is my big thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
All right, Larry.
Alrighty.
Hey, thanks for calling, sir. God bless you. Let's go to Arkansas. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
My question is, I had to quit my one employer because of an incident at work. I got another job a few days later. I only worked 3 days. I got injured, not at work, but at home. So I've been off work for probably close to a month, and I'm starting to get a little nervous because my funds are kind of depleting. I'm 65 and a half. When should I consider to start my Social Security?
I
have a truck payment. I have a couple other small payments.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. The key is, I mean, I love delaying it as long as you can, because it's going to grow and then that's going to give you a higher check for the rest of your life, you know, not counting the additional increases you'll have for cost of living or if you'd continue to work and replace some of those lower income years. But the reality is, you know, some folks, and you may be in this situation where you just need it right now because you don't, you know, have other income. You do have the ability to suspend it, but that has to come. So, for instance, if you've reached full retirement age, which is, you know, somewhere between 66 and 67, and you're not yet 70 and you take your benefits, you can request a suspension with the IRS or with the Social Security Administration. And you do earn delayed retirement credits during that suspension, which boost your eventual benefit by 2/3 of 1% for each suspended month, or basically 8% a year. And then you can ask the Social Security to resume payments at any time until you turn age 70. If you haven't done it by then, they'll automatically reinstate your benefits in the higher amount. So you do have that ability to suspend. I think the question is just, do you need to take it now or could you delay it altogether?
Well, my problem is I'm not working and I don't know when. The job I would be going to is a truck driving job. And it requires me getting up really early, and I, the pain, you know, I can't sleep at night, this and that. I don't know how long before, you know, with Medicare, they have to go through all these certain procedures before they can do like MRI and all that kind of stuff to know exactly what's wrong.
Yeah, yeah. I got it. Well, let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. Let's talk a little bit more off the line, off the air, and see if we can help you figure out where you go from here. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
Learning University.
That wasn't stereo right there, fellas.
That's jumbled. Dude,
we were struggling.
The bumblebee was called the humblebee. Is that true?
Chicken legs are also called drumsticks.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a good ice cream flavor. They've got some little tiny saddles that they put on those dragons. Unfortunately, you can only ride them once.
Because then they turn around and take your leg off.
Hey, Andrew, you want to ask
it? I'm so excited about getting on. I missed my exit.
Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, here early in the week, during this final segment, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect, and he shares his weekly market commentary with us. And Bob, well, the market's off slightly today, but I think the latest news since we spoke last was the GDP number for Q4. I guess the market a bit, or the economy a bit stronger than folks expected, huh?
Yes, yet another quarter. You know, this is not the first quarter we had better than expected, and what the bonus for the fourth quarter was the inflation, the GDP deflator, the inflation number was better than expected. So a little more growth, a little less inflation, pretty good combination, and that's why stocks have generally reacted to the upside, Rob.
Yeah, but there's always a downside, so what's the other side of that story?
Yeah, right. The other side of the coin is the market knows that things are okay. It's selling it 20 times earnings, which is not inexpensive. I've been doing this for a long time, and the only time I've seen 20 times earnings is COVID and the tech bubble. And what followed both of those was not very pleasant. So let's hope we don't follow through that again. But the risk reward is more questionable. The good news is in the market is another way to say it.
Yeah. Now, Bob, of course, you mentioned that the market has priced in a lot of this. One of those things that I guess we believe the market has priced in is these 3 to 6 rate cuts at some point this year. But with the economy like it is, that seems like that's less and less likely every day. What do you think?
I fully agree. We thought even with a mediocre economy or one that slowed, 6 was very unlikely. If the economy stays robust, we might not even get 3, Rob.
Yeah, yeah.
Our best guess is 3 because we do think the economy will slow some and that first cut is probably not until June. Some observers still think it's March, but those probabilities come down with each passing day.
All right. Bob, let's look internationally. Let's talk about China. I know you had some comments about China in your commentary this week. I'm interested in your comments, but also, you know, there's some folks out there saying that a decade from now, China will pass us in terms of the size of its economy. They're obviously on the flip side of that, in the midst of a real challenge in their property area and housing. So just give us an overview of where they're at today.
Yeah, you may remember one of our 10 predictions from last year. India surpasses China in lots of ways, and that did happen. India is the future. China has all kinds of problems. Now, look, they're still big, and they're still a force to be reckoned with, and they're still growing, but they have a real estate bubble. Not sure how they're going to solve that. I say too many 100-story buildings with nobody living inside and the buildings built on debt. That's not a great set of factors. Their demographics are their biggest problem long-term, Rob. Demographers estimate China's population by the end of this century will be half of what it is now, which is pretty amazing. In the meantime, they have some quarters that are good and some quarters that are not so good. And that has caused lots of internal turmoil. And then we know the geopolitical issues to try to divert attention from their internal problems outside. So they're not going to go down without a fight, is another way to say it.
Yeah, yeah, very good. All right, Bob, let's come back domestically and finish up with the markets. You know, we talked late last year just about how everything, it seemed like in 2023, was so focused on the Magnificent Seven. We saw that breadth expand a bit at the end of the year, but are we back to it being just really about a few stocks leading this market?
So far, that's been the case. You're absolutely right. November, December, we saw a resurgence from way oversold condition of small stocks. But as we've entered the new year, you know, we're kind of 4 weeks into it, and only one of those weeks, last week, did small stocks beat big ones. So we're having the big ones outperform the small ones by several percentage points, and it's only January. I notice even today the big averages are down, you know, 20-ish basis points, but the Russell 2000, the small stock average, is down more than 0.5%. So this market, I think, needs to broaden out if it's going to sustain its advance.
All right. Are you buying or selling today, Bob?
Yeah, I'm a net buyer today. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Very good.
That's due to some good clients putting some money in our funds, and we got to put it to work.
That's a good thing. Absolutely. All right, Bob. We always appreciate you stopping by, buddy.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye. God bless you. That's Bob Dolly's Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his Dolly's Deliberations at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, let's head back to the phones as we round out the broadcast here today. Tom, you've been waiting patiently there in Indiana. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Rob, this is Tom. I retired 3 years ago, and I got an income about $4,200 a month coming in. Okay. I got $70,000 invested, and I'm getting like a $20,000 refund this year, so I'm gonna put $90,000 total there.
Yeah.
And I got a house; I still owe like $55,000 on it, $901 a month. It's only 2.125 interest.
Wow.
And then I got a prime second mortgage I'm paying prime on, about $39,000.
Okay.
And then one credit card for about $6,000. And I just wondered, should I take some money out and just like pay them off, or should I?
Yeah, it's a good question. Tom, what led to the credit card debt, and has that kind of been resolved, or do you have any reason to believe that would come back?
Probably because not enough money coming in a month.
Yeah. Okay, so just lifestyle spending. You know, I think the key is, I mean, I'm glad you have that $70,000. I'd probably, what did you say the balance was on the credit cards?
And it's only $6,000, only one.
$6,000, okay.
I can pay that off.
Yeah, so that one's a no-brainer. Let's go ahead and wipe that out.
No-brainer.
Yeah,
for
sure.
I don't have anything else.
And then, you know, I think with that, the what's left, the $14,000 on that $20,000 that's coming in from your refund, I'd probably just put that in a high-yield savings account and use that to ensure that if you ever do have, you know, a month where you end up needing more than the $4,200 you have, you know, we're not going back to credit cards. You've got something to fall back on. And then just, you know, try to, you know, keep chugging away at, you know, the obviously the primary one is the that second mortgage, that line of credit at prime, given that you've got one of the best rates I've heard. I mean, at 2.125, that's phenomenal on that mortgage. So, you know, we can let that one ride a bit. I think our next goal is to get that credit line paid off, which is obviously going to free up a bit more on a monthly basis. That'll give you just a little bit more cushion. But in the meantime, I'd probably, you know, wipe out the credit card and then shore up that emergency fund.
Should I take some more of that $20,000, just wipe out some of that?
You certainly could. I mean, it makes sense. I just wouldn't, I'd keep at least 1 month's expenses in that emergency fund, preferably up to three. But anything beyond that, between 1 and 3 months, yeah, because you're not going to get, what you're paying, what they're paying in the high yield savings is not going to be equal to the prime rate. So you might as well get that home equity line paid down, but not at the expense of you having any, you know, liquid reserves available. Okay.
Yeah. Keep the little reserves around.
You got it.
I was going to call that Christian credit counseling, but I couldn't find the right number.
It's
where people's got credit card debt.
I see. Yeah, it's ChristianCreditCounselors.org is the easy way if you're on the web, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. But I think in your case, I'd just wipe it out and be done with it.
Done with it. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Tom. Bless you, sir. Thanks for calling. Jeff, you'll be our final caller there as you're driving through Arkansas. You be careful there. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was inquiring about the RMDs you mentioned earlier from a retirement instrument being used for charitable deductions. Would that still qualify for a federal tax deduction?
It does not, no. So when you do a qualified charitable deduction, you have to be 70 and a half. It's got to come out of an IRA. The benefit is that it does qualify for the RMD, and it doesn't add to your taxable income. Normally, a distribution from an IRA is taxable, so whatever you take out adds to your taxable income. When you do the qualified charitable, you get it out, you satisfy the RMD, but you don't add anything to your taxable income. That distribution is not taxable, but you don't also get to take a deduction on top of it.
Okay. Also, you mentioned a little earlier about the reverse dollar cost averaging. You said something about if you didn't really need it, to take the RMDs and put them into a money market. Could you elaborate on how that exactly is beneficial, how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I was saying there is a lot of times, if you can set up a money market fund and then go ahead and take a year's worth or less of expenses, put it into the money market fund, rather than trying to transfer money from your investments directly to your bank account each time you need it. That's where it's kind of like, you know, dollar cost averaging in reverse, because it helps you smooth out the effects of the market changes, because you've already kind of shored up your income for the year or for however many number of months. And then you just do an automatic transfer over to your operating account on a monthly basis to kind of smooth out those ebbs and flows. And then you're not having each month to figure out what am I selling in order to free up this money. You've already got it there in money market. So instead of systematically putting it in, you're systematically pulling it out. And it just makes it a little simpler because you've got, you know, a year's worth there in money market. So just a thought to consider. Hopefully that helps you, Jeff. Listen, appreciate you being on the program today. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but you be careful there as you drive through Arkansas, and call back anytime. Folks, thanks for checking in with us today. It's always a great privilege to come alongside you and mine the scriptures and hear your stories and talk about how together we can be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us. That's the goal. Remember, after we surrender our lives to Jesus, it's about stewardship of God's word and our time and relationships and, yes, God's money. And that's our goal here on this program, for God to be your ultimate treasure and money to be a tool to accomplish his purposes. Thanks to my team today, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland. Couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. See you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.